So, dear Father, we just thank you for the body, your word. Yes, Lord, we just pray for those that Pastor Steve mentioned, God. Comfort those who need comfort. Encourage those who need encouragement. Strengthen the weak and just fill us, Lord, with you and you alone. And you are enough. Bless this word in this night. Amen. Proverbs 15:17. So get, I'm not going to read it. Get with your neighbor. You have a minute or so. Talk about this verse that you see. Proverbs 15:17. Talk about what is it? What does it mean? All right? You got 1 minute with your neighbor, please. All right, there's your minute. What is the main thing of this verse? Love. What is better, the herbs in this verse or the stalled ox? The herbs. Yeah, I knew it. I knew I'd get one oxer. But yeah, very, very simple but very profound. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox where hatred is. Love. If there's not love, then what are we doing? If there wasn't love in this body, why are we coming? If God didn't shed or share his love with us and tell us he is love, you know, why are we following him? It's all because of love. And that's where the place where we want to be. And this is so beautiful. So the verse I'm going to go to is Luke 2, 6 through 7. Okay, two verses. Luke 2. 6 through 7. And when we're reading this, just think about the simplicity of this. This beautiful story. We're in the Christmas time. We all have heard it many, many times. But how simple the Spirit writes this scripture is very profound. They didn't have to go in elaborate detail on it because the power is in the message. And the Spirit says in verse 6 of chapter 2 of Luke, "And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son." The simplicity. Mary's there, about to deliver. Like I said, no eloquent words are written here. Not too many details. There's no gender reveal party for Mary. Oh, man. No gender reveal party? No. But she brought forth her firstborn son. Mary's away. They're away from their family. They're away from their friends. They're away from their hometown. They're like alone. What's the next verse? She brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. There's no nurses there to help. She just has a useless husband. Just a useless Joseph over there. She couldn't even wrap the baby up. She did it herself. Oh, that's so good. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. I know you guys can take it. And they laid him in a manger. What is a manger? It's a feeding trough for animals, right? What do animals eat? Herbs, grain. And that guy kind of goes back to that one verse, you know. Better is a dinner full of herbs where there's love. And there's love there. The struggle that they probably went through, you know, traveling so long. And we see in this, the next part of the verse, and they laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. There's no room for them. Can you imagine doing that traveling? And you get to the place where maybe you're supposed to be, or your last resort, your plan, and they said, there's no room for you. Like, how do you find love in that? right? You could be so frustrated and say, this is not the way it's supposed to be. The pain that she's about to go through, all with labor, you could think about that. Just think about the details and the simplicity of it. And there's no room for you. And you get to that place maybe and you're like, God, I've followed your way. You told me to go here. I'm following you. But why, God? I did this all for you. Couldn't you just provide us a room? And here comes the provision. The manager comes out and he says, I got a manger. You're probably not going to want it. But I got a manger in the back, and that's the only place I have. God leads them to a humble place. The dinner of herbs. Why? Because that's where love is. Love is in the humility. And I feel like God puts us in areas in our life when we go, we have a plan and it doesn't work out. And the choice of humility comes in. And do I take it? And am I okay with that? And I'm telling you, you could say yes, because you could find love there. Because that's where our Savior was born. Our Savior chose that. Love is there. Sometimes the plan doesn't work out. It may seem like the wrong place, but it doesn't matter because love. I choose love, and that's all we need in our life. So find that place of humility. And then Jesus, as he's living his life, you could say throughout the scripture, there was no room for him. They didn't want him. And the only room that there was for him was on the cross. And he said, yeah. He humbled himself in Philippians 2, even to death on the cross. And love was there. He chose love. He chose the humble way for you and I. And that's the God I want to follow. And it's hard, and he knows it's hard, but he's with us and he's for us. So maybe you're in a place when you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know this love. Maybe you knew the love before, but maybe you've kind of drawn back and gone cold a little bit. You've gone a little cold. There's a verse in if you could help me, AV, Jeremiah 2:2. This is a powerful word, and Jeremiah is about to start his ministry. And nobody really listens to Jeremiah through his ministry. He has a tough ministry. And God tells him to start his ministry by saying this. And we could take this, if you're in that place where you're, because this whole book is tough, because Jeremiah is the prophet who says, go preach to Israel who is really backslidden. And has lost that love, and they're not with me no more like they used to be. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. I love that. I remember thee. God saying this. And that word in the Hebrew is more than like a recollection, more than just like a remembrance, oh, I remember that time. It is to bring to mind with intent. There is a purpose for it. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Beautiful. He's talking about Israel. He's like, I remember when I brought you out, the kindness of your youth, like the first time when you came out of Israel. And then we made a covenant, and I made a covenant with you. And that's the espousal, the marriage, the intimacy right there. The love. And the next part, when thou wendest after me in the wilderness. And I'm reading this and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I've read those stories and it doesn't seem like they really went after you, Lord. They failed so many times, God. They murmured so many times, but this is what God is saying. I remember. This is what I remember. Like maybe you're cold in your heart right now. This is point one, is to go back to that first love. The Church of Ephesians, go back to that first love, that first time when you recognized and felt the love of Christ. Have an intent with the memory. You went after me. And that word really in the Hebrew, went after me, is it's really just to follow God. It's not me going, it's just me following the Lord as he led them by a pillar and by a cloud in a land that was not sown. So the wilderness is a place of testing, of reliance on God. What is that? That's humility. It's like the manger scene. There's no place in the inn. Can I go through that test and just humble myself? Yes, because love is there. And then the land that was not sown is barrenness, you could say. The land that was not sown, barrenness. There's no permanent settlement there. And there will be times in our life where we'll feel like that. But one, remember that first love. And two, go after God. Go after God. What does that mean? Just follow him. It didn't look perfect, they murmured. But just follow him, and that's all he requires of us. And in 1 Corinthians, last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, there's just one part that sums it up too as well about love. And, can you do it in the, I'm testing them. Can you do it in the ESV, please? It did not behave. Oh, wow, you guys are quick. It does not insist on its own way. That's it. It's not our way. It's God's way. It's the humble way. He took the way of the cross, and this is the God we follow. And we stumble, and we grow cold, but we get back up, and we remember. And this is why we go, and we love like the Christmas season of it, and to repeat these stories, is because love is the way, the more excellent way. Love edifies. This is the place where we want to be. Amen? Amen. So we'll also pray for the offering. So Lord, just thank you for the love that you have shown by the birth of your son. It didn't seem like a planned out perfect way to do things, but it was. You were born in a manger, in a feeding trough, and there was love there. And Mary didn't care about all the trials she went through, Joseph either, because they had just a baby Jesus, the promised one, in their arms. And it drew people to you. Shepherds came. Wise men came. You will draw people to yourself because that's what love does. Help us to take the humble way, Lord. When things don't seem right, they're not going to the way that we planned it. Help us just to say, yeah, this is the way. Thank you, Lord. Help us to remember, Lord, the days of our youth, when we first loved you and we first met you. And help us to go after you by simply just following and being obedient, just like you are. Lord, bless this offering, God. We thank you for this church and your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everyone. Great to be with you. Thank you for coming out tonight. I'm just looking around at all your faces, and we've been doing this for quite a while. I mean, I have at least like 40 years, maybe. Wednesday night services. Wow. I don't regret it at all. This is, and why are we here? It's because we're hungry and we're thirsty for God. We just want to hear from him. So I'm praying by the grace of God that there would be something to a bone tonight coming from the master's table that we can chew on when we go home. Yeah, some herbs. Yeah, there's love here. Thank God. That's really what I wanted to speak about body life, which I really believe the thing that we love about coming to church is the love. It's the fullness of God. God is love. And in my class, I taught discipleship this semester. We had a beautiful class, one of my favorite classes. It was just on the distinguishing mark of a disciple is love. And it was so interesting because the New Testament, especially Jesus, all of a sudden there's a new commandment. And in the Old Testament, of course, it was that we would love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul. This is like God's intention. This is the purpose of the law. This is our God. The Bible really talks mostly about his love for us, divine love. And then we, you know, when we're loved, then we can love. But Jesus sort of, he says in John 13, 35, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you. And it's this, that you would love one another as I have loved you. And by this, the world will know that you are my disciples. So it's almost got like an evangelistic element to it. It's something very special. It's something that, I don't know about you, but I come to church just to get loved, just to be sharpened, of course, but just to see somebody, and usually they have something for me, I have something for them. And that's what I wanted to talk about, sort of in a unique way, from Luke chapter 1. So let's turn there. I won't keep you long tonight. Wow. I was just, maybe a month ago or so, we made a trip to the country of Georgia. And I don't know if you've seen it in the news, the country's gone through, even the day we arrived, I think the election had just taken place. So there's been a lot of unrest. And but it was a beautiful time. Pastor Hadley, we were talking today, he was just in South America and just going to conferences and just being with people that you haven't seen maybe in a while. It's really like a baptism of love. He talked today about it's sort of like getting a tune-up, or what did you say? It was sort of like when your phone needs an update and something is sort of downloaded and all of a sudden there's new apps or whatever. I don't know. It's like, that's why, you know, this is why we do it. We have something to give, but really it's so much we're getting. We're getting. So one thing that I love about being there, of course, a lot of people from Baku where I served, but a lot of international students that were here maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years ago, there we were again. So I was thinking, we had two gentlemen come from Russia, Vusal, you probably remember Vusal, newly married, just a great man of God, and just, I hadn't seen him. It had been about maybe 12 years. Norlan was another one. He was from, you know, Norlan, so he's with Pastor Vladek, I think, in St. Petersburg. One thing that happened, there was Vadim Novitsky. I don't know if you remember Vadim, but he's been living here in America. He got married to an American lady, and he's recently moved back to Baku because his mom had an accident. She was hit by a car. And thank God she came through it, but a lot of physical therapy. That reminds me, I don't know if you've heard, but Francis, remember Francis Rumetz? I mean, faithful, she was here, her and her husband. So she was in an accident and was, you know, killed. I don't know if you knew that she died recently. And I don't know if her husband is here. Is he here? His name is Tony. Tony, wow. She was faithful, Bible college student. I mean, they usually sat right about there. Really faithful woman. She's with Christ now. She's gotten the graduation, and we don't know. We don't know, do we? I mean, we take one step into the street, and you just never know, you know, where we're going to be. So at the conference, Vadim had an opportunity to share, and he did something very unique. He just started speaking about his life, his walk with God. And then he started calling people from the audience, like his mother was there, so he called her up. He's speaking about her. Then there was Pastor Yashar. They had been in like kindergarten together, and now they were both like youth pastors in Baku when Pastor Mati was there. And so Pastor Yashar comes up, his mother, then the pastors. He had Pastor Mati come up. I went up, and he's sharing about each of us, just like testimonies of how we met, and then his wife and his children. So it's like half the church was there, you know. And then he says, "This is who I am." It was like a revelation, really. Because I could say that tonight, that this is who I am. It's you. You have made me. I mean, it's Christ, of course, between us. But when I think about my life and I think about the things that I've gone through and difficulties I've had, I can honestly say that the body carried me. Just being in this body, just being in my seat, just having that place not be empty. And God, through the pulpit and through your love, and we're really not alone. We're together in this. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? I was just visiting family up in New England, and my sister, she's out in Tacoma, and so her daughter just had a beautiful baby boy. I mean, this kid is like really unbelievably cute, you know? So my sister was saying, she's watching him 3 days a week. So she said, just get some water here. She said, when I first come in, he'll just sit with me and look me in the face, you know, like eye to eye and sort of cautiously. And then he'll start to like, you know, there'd be like a little bit of provoking or, you know, pointing, like point, look, you know, just this whole beautiful developing. He's maybe, I don't know, maybe 6 months old. And it reminded me of a story Kathleen Norris told. She was in a line at an airport early morning. It was like 6:45 or something. She was in a horrible mood. She wrote about this. She was just really like sort of crabby. And so she's in line, and there was a couple in front of them with a little baby, and the baby had his head over the shoulder, and the baby's like looking at her, trying to get her attention. And she's like, you know, but then, wow, she noticed, wow, that's the beautiful baby. And the baby is like wanting to interact with her. And then God said something so beautifully. He said to her, that this is how I am. I'm like that baby to you. I'm waiting for, I want to be face to face with you. I want you to respond to my points, you know. And I don't know if you've ever saw this. It's a horrible video, but it's on YouTube. It's called the Still Face Experiment. I don't know if you've ever heard about this. But it's just basically they're showing a mother and their child, and the mother's really sweet with the baby. And then all of a sudden, it's like an experiment. So the mother goes like still. She doesn't respond. And they sort of don't focus on her, but it's on the baby. And the baby's like, first of all, he's wondering what's going on. And then he starts pointing. She's not looking. Then the baby starts to like freak out, really, literally. It's just like this. There's something wrong there. You know, there's something wrong with this picture. And it's, don't ever do it. I'm just so thankful that our God is not like this. Our God, he's always full face. And beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that says it's the face of Jesus Christ. We wonder what God looks like. And I think that in the face of Jesus Christ, we see God. We see the glory of God, and we're changed. We look at that face. And I don't know if you remember the Teletubbies. I don't know. That was quite a long time ago, but it's a British show. So they used to have this baby, beautiful baby's face with the sun around it. And it used to, you know, sort of rise up, and the baby's laughing. But I think about Jesus and his face, and brighter than the sun, Jesus, the Son of God, you know, and here we are, we're recognizing the birth of Christ, and there's a beautiful prayer in Numbers chapter 6. It's called Aaron's Prayer, and it's how you should pray for your children, how you should pray. And there's two parts of it. This is Numbers 6, 25 and 26. It says, may the Lord make his face shine upon you. So this is what we want for people. We want people to see God, to see his face. And then the second part says, may the Lord lift his countenance upon you. So when I studied that, just in getting ready for this, this means, it means to may God look upon you with favor, with sort of like a smile, that God would see you. And that immediately reminded me here of this passage in Luke chapter 1. There's three parts to this passage that I'm looking at. It's basically Mary with Gabriel, then Mary with Elizabeth, and then Mary's song. So it's starting in verse 26. Just a couple of, we'll mention a couple of things. I really wanted to spend the most time on it's Mary with Elizabeth. But what happens in this chapter is Gabriel comes, verse 26, the sixth month. We see Mary's a virgin. She's betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. When I look at that today, I was thinking about Joseph and the problem he has with the plan of God at this point when she tells him that she's pregnant and that God is responsible, and how he started to sort of work in his mind. How are we going to handle this one? So do you remember beautifully Pastor Luigi at one of our conferences? He had a message on the third way, because Joseph had two things he could do to sort of put Mary away, to do it in secret. But the third way was basically to love her and to believe what she's saying is true and to stay with her and to father this boy. And so I love that, the third way. It says, what is the angel saying? Having come in, the angel said unto her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of God, Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So much Bible there. The thing that God spoke to me concerning this, I was just thinking of Mary was a woman. She was young, yeah, but she really knew the word. When you read her song, she was like sort of steeped in the Bible. And when this first happened, when she saw Gabriel, she was just troubled. You know why? Because the last time she saw Gabriel was in Daniel chapter 8. Gabriel was like representing, you know, God to the nation of Israel. And she's probably saying, I'm no Daniel. What are you doing here? What is this about? This is, you're like the angel Gabriel. Like, and who am I? That's basically what she was saying. And she was troubled. And I was just thinking about so much that we go through. It's very troubling to us. And I don't know, I believe that there are angels that minister to us unawares. We're not angel-oriented, I appreciate that, but I'm so glad that Gabriel's here and he's speaking, because this is like momentous. This is probably one of the greatest events in the history of the universe. I mean, this God is becoming a man, and she is the one that I'm sure that basically what God is saying is he's looked upon her with favor. He's gracing her out. It's nothing about her. She's a humble little 16-year-old girl, maybe. She's betrothed. She's probably thinking about having a baby. And now this angel's coming and he's saying that. And she's saying, how? Look what she says in verse 34. How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. So this is what God said to me as I was trying to look for application. So Mary, she understands who this is. Then he just gives her the doctrine. He gives her the word. I'm sure everything he was saying about the Messiah, it was things were clicking in her mind. She's making sense of this, but still she's wondering about how, what part do I play? And then he talks about the Holy Spirit. So I was just thinking about our lives and the difficulties that we go through. And basically it's the word and the spirit. That's all we need. That's all Mary needed. She basically, she comes to the end of this and she says, look at verse 38. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. The angel departed from her. So she's a woman of faith. She doesn't know, all the details, but I love what happens. It's like after he gives her doctrine, he gives her, talks about the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 36, Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. What a great promise that is. Okay. So there's a sign. She can get confirmation. Immediately after this, she travels. I think it's about 100 miles. I thought I read that. To Elizabeth, their relatives. She goes to the house. And this is really what I thought. When I was reading this, I was just thinking about our life in the body. And when she's coming to the house, I just thought about, God gives us each other. And we are not only like the angel giving her the word and the spirit, but we're just sort of, we're not alone in this. So it says that, verse 39, Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with her loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed that and there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told her from the Lord. So that must have really blessed Mary to hear this. But the first thing that happened, so she comes in, and I was thinking about us coming through these doors. Thank God for the greeters, Pastor Shane, different ones. It's always so great to see the faces of people. Mary just gives a greeting. She just greets Elizabeth. Unexpected. I was thinking of there are unexpected expectancies here. Both of these women are pregnant, you know. And here's Elizabeth, maybe 50 years old, barren her whole life, tried to have children, couldn't. The prayers. Then finally, God says, okay, I'm going to do it. Not only am I going to do it, but it's going to be the greatest prophet that, you know, the last prophet of the old covenant, John the Baptist. He's going to be the one proclaiming. So there's this leaping in the womb. And my wife told me about this. I didn't know there were these. Now they have 3D videos or ultrasounds. Now they have 4D. I don't know if you've seen this, but you can go right into the wombs now and you can have close-ups of faces and children sticking their tongue out. And now they're taking those pictures. And then when the baby's born, and it's almost exactly, so you can see what's going on. And this one video I was watching, the baby was going just on a slip and slide there in the womb, you know, just having the best time in there, maybe laughing. And it's just basically saying that the fetus is a person. And Jesus, at this point, he was, you know, maybe according to technology today. He was not viable, meaning he couldn't survive outside of Mary's womb. But this baby inside of Elizabeth saw Jesus, sensed Jesus, and he had a hallelujah breakdown in there. I think he was just like kicking or praising. I don't know. There was joy. I love this. So what Elizabeth does is she shouts. And I don't know, I was just up with my parents, and it's amazing how loud it gets at these gatherings, you know. It's like you're talking to somebody, but there's 10 people talking at the same time, and it's like, wow. But even in church sometimes, I think, this is just how it can be with people. There's Elizabeth, and there's Mary, and there's greeting. But all of a sudden, Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit. It said earlier in the chapter that John the Baptist was going to be filled with the Spirit from the time of conception. He's in the womb. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. That's just amazing to think of. And then there's Mary and Elizabeth. And Mary, Elizabeth is shouting this. And basically, I love it. She's not thinking about herself. She's thinking about Mary. It's really like this self-sacrificing kind of putting others first. And this is what love is. So it's all about Mary and confirming what the angel said. She said basically that you are blessed. Blessed means, it just means happy. It means to be, you know, really to find your place. You're blessed by God. And then she's very humbly says, but why is this granted to me? So there's humility there. Mary had it. And this is what I love what Jesse said, because love is so humble. You know, it's just like we're loving people. We're not, it's like, thank God, we're sort of turning from ourselves to others. And then there's just like a giving and maybe a receiving, but it's like, who is worthy of this? None of us. We basically think that, like, this is the best church in the world. And the people here, we've been walking together with Christ all these years. We have the same heart, the same vision. We do things together. We pray. The vision is going on. Wow, this is beautiful. Blessed is she who believed. And I'm sure Mary was saying, wow, I did, didn't I? This is really happening. And she says, and it will be fulfilled, those things which were told her of the Lord. Then Mary starts to sing. And it's 10 verses here. We won't get into it deeply, but it is so, I studied this, and at least 10 different books in the Bible Mary is quoting from. She's not really talking about herself either. She's talking about the Lord. She's magnifying the Lord. And isn't this really our life? Like when Jesus is the issue, when we're together and we're talking about what God is doing, and there's amazing joy. And I love that about Body Life. And then we're always magnifying the Lord. We're always making him bigger. And that's what she says, my soul, my spirit magnifies the Lord. We're rejoicing in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. So basically, her song here, it's all about how God exalts humble people, how God basically he turns the whole thing upside down, the world, status, me first, you know, and all of this kind of trying to get to the top of the status heap. And God says, okay, I'm going to get the person that's being crushed at the bottom of that status heap. I'm going to take the persecuted, and I'm going to take the mourners, and I'm going to take the meek. I'm going to take the humble ones. And these are the ones, like, this is how God has changed the world. It's through us. It's through humble people. It's through broken people who love God. And he's doing it. He's doing it through us. So she says so beautifully, I love, she talks about God's might, his holiness, his mercy. It's really like the attributes of God, his strength. But then look at verse 52. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. I love that. So in Psalm 2, there's the Lord's anointed, and all the nations of the world are sort of gathering and they're plotting how to get rid of him. And it's just like this revolt, and it's the kings and all of the rulers and these kind of things. And God's laughing because he's going to take he's going to take his people and his son and turn the whole thing around, the upside down economy of the kingdom. And look at verse 53, for he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Wow. When I read that, I thought about the rich man and Lazarus. So here's a rich man, you know, everything in this life, he dies and he goes to hell. And there's the beggar at the gate, dogs licking his wounds, and he's in heaven. He's, you know, there's a throne. So we think about Hannah. Hannah was barren. God gave her a child. She also had a song, and she talked about how God takes the poor and the beggar from the ash heap, and he puts them with princes, and he brings them to a place where he is inheriting glory. So this is just our hope, our future. It's we're the filled ones. The other ones are going away empty, but we're filled. He has helped his servant Israel. Wow, in remembrance of his mercy. And he has spoke to our fathers. And he's speaking now. He's speaking to us tonight. So let's just have a word of prayer now. And maybe you're here tonight and this is all new to you. And we just want to say that God is love, and God is looking upon you with favor, and God wants to come into your heart, into your life. He wants to reveal himself to you. So open up tonight to him. If you've never said it before, just say, Lord, I believe, I accept what you're saying. I come into my life and live in me, live in me. If you said that tonight for the first time, raise your hand. We'd love to pray for you, if anybody's done that. So, Father, thank you for just your beautiful love for us, and that we are your humble servants, Lord, but you are doing great things, just like you did with Mary and Elizabeth. And thank you for the joy. Thank you for your plan. Thank you that everything you promised, it will come to pass, because you do impossible things. And so just bless our evening tonight, Lord, we pray as we go. Be with our pastor as he comes back. And we just thank you for this beautiful passage in Luke 1. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.